You know that we love our on-demand listeners here at Lutheran Public Radio. Now, if you've enjoyed listening to Issues Etc. in 2008, please consider making a year-end gift to help support this worldwide outreach. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or you can contribute by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and mail it to LPR Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. LPR Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of us as we approach the end of 2008.
It's strategically important for Christians to care for this earth, just as it's important for Christians to care for the family. These are equals. They're both part of God's concern. They're both part of His heart.
Recently, in an NPR interview, he spoke in a way that undercut his credibility as a spokesperson with much of our constituency.
That's Richard Cizik during a recent interview with National Public Radio, and Leith Anderson, president of the National Association of Evangelicals, talking about Richard Cizik's resignation from the National Association of Evangelicals. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Friday afternoon, the 12th of December. Our call-in number, we'll be talking with Mark Tooley about Cizik's resignation from the National Association of Evangelicals, 1-877-623-6943-877-623-MYIE. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. In about 10 minutes, I want to know what's your favorite Christmas movie. It's a good thing to reflect on here. I mean, the kind of classic Christmas movies that everyone enjoys, what's your favorite? Brian Gadowell will be joining us in about 10 minutes, a screenwriter from Southern California. He's author of the book Hollywood Worldviews, Watching Films with Wisdom and Discernment. We'll be talking with him about some of those Christmas movie classics and some that are out in the theaters right now. A little movie review with you in about 10 minutes, 1-877-623-6943, or talkback@issuesetc.org. Mark Tooley is director of United Methodist Action for the Institute on Religion and Democracy. Mark, welcome back.
Hello, always a pleasure.
Mark, what surprised you the most about Richard Cizik's recent interview on NPR?
Well, it's hard to be very, very surprised at all in that he has been consistently pushing the envelope for the last 5 or 6 years in terms of moving the NAE from a traditional conservative evangelical group to an evangelical left group, starting with global warming and then expanding from there. But I guess it still was a little bit of took you back to realize that on National Public Radio that he did specifically endorse same-sex civil unions and implied that he was possibly open to same-sex marriage. And, of course, that was the tripwire that led to his requested resignation.
Does Cizik's positions taken during his time, and he has a long history with National Association of Evangelicals, but does his more
28 years.
Do his more recent positions taken there, do they indicate a change in direction for that organization itself?
Perhaps they do. It's hard to detect what was him and what was reflective of at least the elites or the board of the organization. Largely, the executive committee of the NAE's board has been inclined the last few years towards the evangelical left and has largely endorsed the global warming perspective and the outspoken stance that the group took critical in of the U.S. and alleging that the U.S. practices torture and moving towards opposition to nuclear weapons and other areas where it really was going into new issue areas that were more on the left side of the spectrum than on the conservative side. So with Cizik gone, I guess our first strong hint will be who his successor will be. But also, this will be interesting, in January, the NAE has a conference scheduled in Chicago on immigration. And, of course, they're pushing for more of an amnesty, open borders approach. So we'll have to wait and see if that continues in his absence.
I'm wondering whether this is strictly a left-right thing, Mark, or whether or not some of the uncertainty, some of the angst in the NAE comes from the attempt just to broaden the issues. That is, Cizik spoke in that NPR interview about things like the environment being on equally great concern as things like the family.
Yes, it was a chief focus of Cizik, as it is for others on the evangelical left, to, from their perspective, broaden the supposedly restricted horizon of issues that evangelicals are interested in beyond issues relating to family and human sexuality, primarily same-sex marriage and abortion. So it was his theme and a larger theme for the evangelical left that evangelicals, if they're truly comprehensive in their Christian worldview, have to also be addressing foreign policy and military policy and environmental policy, et cetera, with the same vigor and interest they would have in issues like abortion and marriage.
You're based in Washington, D.C. How big a story is Cizik's resignation inside the Beltway?
Well, it was in both the Washington Post and the Washington Times this morning. I haven't seen it in the New York Times yet. I assume it will be. He's been such a high-profile figure and has gotten so much publicity primarily because of his global warming activism that I think it's a fairly significant story.
Do we know what Richard Cizik's denominational affiliation is, Mark?
Well, he comes out of a Baptist background and is, I believe, ordained a Baptist, not Southern Baptist, but one of the other Baptist denominations.
Why do you think the media likes to quote and go to Richard Cizik as opposed to other evangelicals?
Well, on the one hand, logically, you know, he plausibly represented a group that had 60 denominations in it, adding up to supposedly 30 million American churchgoers, but more obviously, it was counterintuitive and enjoyable for the media to quote an evangelical who was coming from the liberal perspective and who was often critical of conservative evangelicals.
What if this is a direction for the National Association of Evangelicals? That is, they're going to broaden their issues, and then they're going to at the same time, kind of set them all on equal par so that the life issues, the family and marriage issues, are given kind of equal priority with global warming and immigration and things like that. In the end, what will distinguish the National Association of Evangelicals from other organizations like the National Council of Churches?
Well, already there's under Cizik's leadership, there was seemingly very little difference between the two, and the irony is that the NAE was founded specifically to counteract the National Council of Churches back 60, 65 years ago. But it is helpful that in the situation of Cizik's forced resignation over his pronouncements on same-sex unions, at least it does illustrate that the NAE is holding the line on that issue at least.
Was this a forced resignation?
If you read the public letter from Leith Anderson, the president of NAE, he seems to pretty much admit as much.
Was there any indication that this came, the impetus for this resignation had been coming a long time and that this interview with National Public Radio was kind of the last straw, or was this a wake-up call for the leadership of the NEA?
I think it's more of the latter. I think largely Cizik seemed to dominate the organization, if only because they haven't had a very long-lasting or strong president for over 10 or 12 years now. And so he was the continuity of the organization, and he was the one who got quoted by the media the most often. So I think, by and large, the board and the NAE leadership were fairly supportive of him until very recently.
Has Cizik had anything to say since his resignation from the NAE?
Not that I've seen, no.
What do you expect him to do next? I mean, this is a guy who, as you pointed out before, has spent a lot of time in this very prominent organization, and he's come up through the ranks. Where do you expect him to land next?
I would think he would have no difficulty finding another job. Obviously, he's most connected publicly with global warming in recent years, and I would think there are an awful lot of environmental groups out there that would be excited about having him represent them. And I also wonder if he wouldn't possibly have a potential position in the Obama administration, given the Obama campaign's outreach to evangelicals and religious people.
Do you think, well, I guess that was my thinking, too, is that perhaps President Obama would be smart to tap him, but I'm wondering whether or not that would garner him any goodwill with evangelicals since this resignation has taken place this way.
It could go either way. On the one hand, his previous director of religious outreach was someone who was very liberal and controversial, so perhaps Isaac would represent an improvement over that. But on the other hand, the fact that he's been fired by the largest evangelical group in America, that would seem to undermine his credibility with many evangelicals.
Finally, with only about 30 seconds, what kind of organization will the NAE be 10 years from now, do you think, Mark?
It's hard to say, and it's hard to even assert unequivocally that it's even needed in the same sense that the National Council of Churches, its liberalism aside, has become almost irrelevant. The NAE was founded as the antidote to that, and it just seems like these large ecumenical centralized groups are just not as relevant today as they would have been 40 and 50 and 60 years ago. But assuming it does survive, I think it could continue very much in the evangelical left direction, or it could the Sizek situation could, as you say, serve as a wake-up call, and potentially they could hire a successor who is more responsible in terms of representing mainstream evangelical beliefs.
Mark Tooley is director of the United Methodist Action for the Institute on Religion and Democracy. You'll find a link to the Institute on Religion and Democracy under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Live this Friday afternoon, December the 12th. When we come back, your favorite Christmas movie, Brian Gadawa, will be our guest. Thank you for making it possible to bring back Issues Etc. You've heard us say, now only our listeners can cancel us. Please help us continue this Christ-centered, cross-focused broadcast in the new year by making a year-end donation. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Thanks for thinking of us at the end of 2008.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to eighth grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
A demented idea.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Baroness Mary Warnock has been called Britain's leading moral philosopher. However, in a recent interview with the Church of Scotland's magazine Life and Work, Warnock asserted that dementia patients be euthanized. According to her, such patients waste, quote, people's lives and the resources of the National Health Service. And in another newspaper, Warnock even uses the term to put down when referring to euthanizing humans. Phrases like this referring to people are an assault on human dignity, but not a surprising one. Warnock clearly takes the view that human life can and even should be ended when it's no longer convenient.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.